Presenting Charles Boyer.
Qui passe ça me voit.
Hello, my dear. Bonsoir.
Bonsoir, Michel. La da da
The National Broadcasting Company takes pleasure in presenting a new series starring Charles Boyer as Michel. And who is Michel? Well, you see that handsome, debonair gentleman in evening clothes? He's known variously as the Baron de Montrichard, the Duc de Consigny, or possibly a general from the French Foreign Legion. But to his friends, simply as Michel, confidence man, connoisseur of beautiful women, and storyteller extraordinary. You'd never guess, as he moves among the tables in this fashionable Paris restaurant, that the elegant Michel has not a penny in his pocket. Or that his stomach is even more empty than his purse.
Dear, bonsoir.
Cecily.
Yes, Michel?
Is Mr. Conway here yet? Oh, I see him. Cecily.
Yes?
While we're having dinner, I want you to sing this song.
You have the music?
Yes, right here.
Let me see. Na da na na. Na da da dee da 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 da. I found my love. Na da da dee ah. Oh, I like this, Michel.
You do? Oh, thank you. It is my song.
You wrote it?
Well, let us say, my dear, that I caused it to be written.
Oh?
Would you sing it?
Oh, gladly, Michel.
Good. Ah, Mr. Conway.
Michel.
Eating again, I see.
You surprised me, Michel.
You know, it is a dreadful habit.
I presume this is a roundabout way of suggesting that I invite you to join me for dinner.
Oh, how kind of you. I shall be happy to accept. Waiter. Vichyssoise, Caesar salad, Hungarian goulash with paprika sauce, marron glacé with petit four, and a spot of port wine, please.
I'm expected, of course, to take the check for this repast.
Since you insist, how can I refuse? These breadsticks are delicious.
But why should I line your Parisian stomach with Hungarian goulash? What's there in it for an American?
This dinner can make you a fortune. For I am about to tell you a story, Mr. Conway, which you, as a writer, can serialize for an expensive magazine, sell to the motion pictures, dramatize for Broadway, and later adapt for radio, television, and, comic books.
I get all this for a plate of goulash?
A plate of goulash and $200. Now, if you decide that my story is nothing but goulash, well, that's exactly what you've paid for it.
It's a deal, Michel.
May I trouble you for the radishes, please?
One radish in advance. What do you call this story, Michel?
This is the adventure of the perfume bloodhound.
What? Oh, preposterous title. Why, you...
Wait. I want to hear this song.
Oh.
I found my love. The love I thought had gone away. I found my love. As night was blending into day.
Well, on with the story, Michelle, if you want your dinner.
Well, this song is part of the story. For the composer of that melody is the man who hired me as the perfume bloodhound.
You are the perfume bloodhound?
What? This surprises you? That I should have an exceptional skill in the detection of perfumes?
It seems curious.
My friend, what wine are you drinking?
Chambertin.
Well, hold your nose as you drink it, and you won't know it from cooking sherry.
That sounds reasonable.
You know, that is exactly what Mr. Brailberg said when I explained my talent to him.
Mm. That sounds reasonable.
Give me a fragrance, Mr. Brillberg, and I will track it to its source.
Now, you understand, what was your name again?
Michel will suffice.
Yeah, Michel. Now, you understand now that I'm employing you in an extremely confidential fashion.
Yes. Right?
I expect you to be as close-mouthed as a private eye.
Or, in this case, a private nose.
Yeah, private nose. That's very good. That's very good.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, what is the aroma you wish me to detect?
Yeah, well, now, don't rush me. I want you to get a clear picture of this thing. You see, I am a married man.
Very honorable institution.
Yeah, so I've heard, but there comes a time when a man gets tired of being honorable.
How true, how true.
Now, Lavinia, that's my wife, Lavinia and I have been married a dozen years or so, and, well, I'm afraid that we've lost the glow, as we songwriters. But you've heard my song, haven't you? When you've lost the glow, you got to go.
Yes,
big hit back in the States.
It sounds familiar.
It was in the top 10 for 8 weeks. I made $100,000 out of that one tune.
Nice round figure.
Yeah, royalties are still coming in.
That is the kind of royalty that matters these days. Kings and princes, what value do they have? But with a royalty from a song hit, why, a commoner can buy his own crown.
You know, well, I bought a yacht. Never went out on the darn thing. Made me seasick. I wonder what I ever did with that old yacht anyway.
Tell me, how many song hits have you written, Mr. Brillberg?
How many? Oh, I never bothered to count them all. See, there was Toodaloodaloo, Leave Me or Love Me, and there was Albuquerque Alice, the Dreamboat Serenade, hundreds of them.
You mean to say that you made thousands of dollars from each one?
Yes, sir. I got my finger on the public's pulse.
Well, do you ever think of Franz Schubert starving in a garret?
Franz Schubert? The only Schuberts I know are Lee and J.J.
Another branch of the family, no doubt.
Yeah, well, that's beside the point. You see, Michelle, when you come right down to it, I flew over here to Paris to get away from my wife, Lavinia. Wanted to have myself a little time. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. I have a vague idea.
You're a good fellow, Michelle. How about a drink?
Thank you, no more.
Yeah, waiter, bring me one more double bourbon and soda pop.
What, will you? Bourbon and soda pop?
Yeah, greatest little drink you ever tasted. Gives you a lift and settles your stomach at the same time. You ought to try it.
Now, how about the fragrance?
Oh, yeah, getting back to that. Well, I went out for dinner a couple of nights ago in that the woods you got the edge of town.
The Bois de Boulogne.
The woods out there where all the trees are. Yeah, I don't speak any French, you know, Michel. I never had a chance to finish high school.
I can just see you dining in the Bois de Boulogne.
No, you couldn't. It was dark.
Oh?
Yeah, one of those open-air places, you know, with candlelight on the table. Well, after the waiter brings me coffee, I blew out the candle. You see, I'm sitting there, turning over in my mind a song title that goes, "When you blew out that candle, you blew out my heart." And just as I'm deciding it's no good, I light up a cigar, see? Lavinia hates cigars. I'm sitting there all alone in the dark.
Yes, with the glow of your cigar, like a firefly in the dusk.
Say, that's pretty fair. You could be a lyric writer.
No, I would be miserable with all that money.
Yeah, you're right. It clutters up the house. Well, just as I reach down to the ashtray to pick up my cigar again.
Yes?
There is no cigar.
Oh.
And what do you think I touch?
I don't know.
A woman's hand.
No. You are pleased.
Well, I don't like to lose a good Havana, but I take hold of this woman's hand and kind of stroke the back of it, you know. And she takes my hand in hers and begins to stroke mine. Don't feel bad at all.
I can imagine. And how long had she been sitting there?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't hear her sit down, and I couldn't see a darn thing. So I just scrunched my chair around closer to hers, and I put my arm over her shoulder, and you know what? She's wearing a strapless evening dress. And then I got a whiff of her perfume.
Oh, the perfume.
And I said to myself, you didn't know it, Herbie Brillberg, but this is what you came to Paris for.
Would I be presumptuous to inquire what happened?
Yeah, Yeah, I think you would. But I'll say this much. That was the best cigar I ever smoked.
No. And was this woman French?
Who knows? She didn't open her kisser.
You mean you never saw her face?
No, the moon started to come up. She made a little frightened cry and then ran off into the woods.
Leaving not a trace.
Yeah.
Ah, Mr. Bilberg, I'm inclined to think that you fell asleep after a heavy meal and dreamed the whole thing.
I dreamed. No, I didn't dream this.
What? Oh, a handkerchief.
Yeah, you left it behind when she ran off. Hey, take a whiff of that perfume.
Mm, exquisite.
The lace looks like it's hand-woven.
Yes, but no initial. Too bad. This is a rare woman you've met, monsieur. A lady, I should say, of great taste and refinement.
Yeah, well, now look, I've got to find her again. You're a Frenchman, you understand.
Yeah,
I can't go back to the States, back to Lavinia, and never know who this girl was or why she came to me there in the dark.
I shall do my best, Mr. Wilberg. If I find her, it will cost you 50,000 francs.
How much does that come to in dollars?
Oh, how can you think of dollars when such a prize is waiting to be discovered?
Oh, yeah.
Really? Give me the handkerchief.
Yeah, well, you know, now Paris is a big city. How are you going to go about this?
My dear sir, I've told you of my extraordinary sense of smell. Well, as a bloodhound tracks down a criminal from his scent, so shall I seek out your lady of mystery from her perfume. That is how I started on my career as a perfume bloodhound. Mr. Conway, this goulash is delightful.
You don't expect me to believe that you found the woman out of all the millions in Paris?
Not millions, Mr. Conway. Barely 1,000 women could afford so rich a perfume. And, you know, people of such elegance move in a tight little circle. Well, perhaps, I would say, a dozen restaurants play host to them.
Yes, you're right. That does narrow it down.
Well, at Maxime's, the trail was cold as an ice cube. A mingled mist of Sharking and Chanel No. 5.
Uh-huh.
At Fouquet's, I thought for a moment that I detected the fragrance of the handkerchief, but it vanished. Then, moving on to a little restaurant in the Bois, I caught the scent again. Unmistakable, overpowering.
The bloodhound stalks in for the kill. What did this woman look like?
Well, I was not certain. I only knew that I was sitting but a few yards away from her.
Mm-hmm.
As I turned my head, I caught a glimpse of Blue Tafta, a brunette with straight dark hair.
Ah.
She was dining alone. Her back was toward me, but I knew, even before I saw her face, I knew that she must be beautiful. My search was almost at an end. Pardon, mademoiselle.
Yes?
Or should I say madame?
Whichever you prefer.
I found myself looking down into eyes which were a most inviting shade of blue. And I wondered if their brightness might come from the nearness of tears. It was not a young face, but one which had rejected all the easy charm of youth, leaving that essential beauty which has nothing to do with age or time.
Is there something I can do for you?
Oh, not unless it pleases you, madame. I merely wished to return this handkerchief.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, it is yours, is it not?
Yes, I'm certain of it.
And do you remember where you lost it?
Yes.
And under what circumstances?
Precisely. It was clever of you to find me. How did you do it?
I must explain. I am not the gentleman with whom you had the adventure in the Bois de Boulogne.
I know that.
Oh? I am in the employ of that gentleman, though.
Oh?
And he's very anxious to see you again.
How can he see me again? He didn't see me in the Bois.
Well, he wants to see you, then, for the first time.
Oh, I assure you that's impossible.
Oh, try to understand his problem, madame. His mind will never be at ease until he meets you by daylight.
What would come of it? He might not feel the same in daylight.
If you will forgive my saying so, madame, I am convinced that your beauty would be no less by day than by lamplight.
And I'm convinced that no good can come of my meeting with your client. Is that what you call it?
No, if no good can come, I assure you that it can cause no harm. And you see, my arrangement with my client
provides that I must arrange a meeting in order to earn my fee.
My reluctance is taking bread from your mouth? Oh, dear, dear.
If not the bread, certainly the cake.
You make me sound more cruel than Marie Antoinette. Very well, I will meet your client.
Oh, thank you very much, madame.
5 o'clock tomorrow, by Racine's statue, in the garden of the Tuileries.
It's 5:10, Michel. Where is she?
Well, I'm sure I don't know.
Are you sure you got the place right?
Oh, yes.
Are you sure this is the right statue?
Oh, I'm sure. Oh,
here she comes.
Where? I don't know, but I detect that perfume.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
What?
My dear lady, may I present your distinguished countryman, the famous songwriter, Mr. Herbert Brilberg. Mr. Brilberg, here is your mysterious lady of the strange perfume.
All right, Herbert, close your mouth and pay the man his fee.
I'll do nothing of the kind. What are you doing
here? I'm a free agent. I'll do what I please and go where I please.
You already know each other?
Know each other? This is my wife.
Well, go on. What happened?
You know, Mr. Conway, this pretty fool... are really excellent.
Oh, hang the petty four. How did it happen that Mr. Brilberg's lady of mystery was his own wife?
That's a good question. Puzzled me for some time. Shall we finish up this splendid dinner with a snifter of brandy, Mr. Conway?
This splendid dinner may end up with you taking the check. If you don't have an ending for this story.
Oh, there is an ending, to be sure.
A happy one?
Quite a surprising one, I should say. You see, Mr. Conway, these people had been married a dozen years. That's almost 5,000 days and as many nights.
But you said the woman, Mrs. Brilberg, was extremely beautiful.
True. But, you know, if you had to live with a Venus de Milo 24 hours a day, her beauty might grow less breathtaking. I once saw an attendant at the Louvre stick out his tongue at the Mona Lisa.
Whatever for?
He was tired of her grinning at him all the time.
So that's why your songwriter ran away to Paris.
And his Mona Lisa followed him because, well, no wife likes to be left behind while her husband enjoys a fling.
What sauce for the ganders, also sauce for the goose.
But what a temptation it was to flirt with her own husband while he thought she was 5,000 miles away.
What did you do?
Well, my client refused to pay me, so I decided to get myself a new employer who looked much better in blue taffeta.
I should have gone straight to Reno. This marriage is a silly farce.
Well, of course it is. You should be rid of that boorish husband.
Herbert is not a boor. He's lacked certain educational advantages, but he's a man of great skill and talent.
Oh, forgive me.
Makes me so mad when I think how all this money has spoiled Herbert. I wish things could be the way they were when we were poor. And Herbert wrote songs not for jukeboxes, but for me.
Would it be worth anything to you, madam, if I could strike a spark of romance back into your marriage?
Oh, that's impossible. How can I ever be romantic with that boor?
What?
Oh, I said he wasn't a boor, didn't I?
I believe that he wants the same things that you do, Mrs. Wilbergs.
Then why did he run away from me to Paris?
Now, forgive me. Who was the woman he offered me 50,000 francs to find?
Well, that was when he thought I was someone else.
You know, madam, I think you have been the someone else for the last few years of your marriage. That night in the Bois de Boulogne, in the darkness, you were yourself again, the soft and loving person who inspired the love songs of so many years ago.
You really think...
I'm sure of it. Leave everything to Michel. Oh, one thing only. You must change your perfume.
Why?
Why? Well, this is the fragrance you use to deceive him. It would be like waving a red flag at a bull. Here. Wear this.
Oh, what is that?
Between us.
Yes?
This tiny vial contains a few precious drops of the perfume worn by Josephine on the night Napoleon Bonaparte asked her to be his queen.
How enchanting.
Shh. When I give you the signal, madam, place one drop of this rare fragrance behind each ear. And I assure you that the perfume which made the emperor of all the French tremble with desire will do the same for the emperor of Tin Pan Alley.
Well, what do you want?
Your forgiveness, Mr. Brillberg, for the stupid blunder which I made.
Well,
and the opportunity of offering you my services.
I've had enough of your services. No, thank you.
Why did you come here to Paris?
To have myself a fling, to have a little fun.
Is that a playboy that you see in the mirror?
Well,
you look more like a man who is about to jump off a bridge and drown himself.
Well, I've been married to Lavinia so long, I've forgotten how to have a good time.
He's here to the rescue. Tonight, Mr. Brillberg, you and I are going to have the celebration of a lifetime.
Will you get me a date?
You will have on your arm the most gorgeous creature who ever did the can-can of the Moulin Rouge. Face of an angel, hair like threads of gold, and a body like the undulating clouds at sunset.
Yeah, and they're not too smart. Lavinia always knows the answer to everything. Just for once, I'd like to go out with a girl that's dumber than I am.
This is the perfect one. A child of nature, and her very name is like poetry. Juju Ledoux.
Juju. Say, what a name for a songwriter. Juju Ledoux.
Eh?
I love you, honest I do. When the moon is new, Juju, I love you.
Great.
You know, I almost went crazy once trying to figure out a rhyme for Lavinia. Best I could do was I get under the skin of you, Lavinia. It was terrible.
Well, we meet you in the lobby of your hotel at 7 o'clock, yes?
Yeah, you bet, and we'll paint the town, won't we, Michel?
Oh, we will have the time of our lives.
Yeah.
The four of us. You with Juju, and I with your wife.
Yeah.
Huh? Mr. Brillberg, this is Juju.
Well, hello, there's Juju.
Je suis très heureuse de faire votre connaissance, monsieur.
Yeah.
And of course, you know your wife.
Hello, Herbert.
Hello, Lavinia.
Well, here we go. Off to the gayest evening Paris can offer us.
Yeah. Say, there's Juju. You're a pretty cute little cookie.
Je suis très heureuse de faire votre connaissance, monsieur.
Hey, Michel, doesn't Juju speak much English?
Nothing but French. She doesn't understand a word you are saying to her. But after all, what difference does that make?
Yeah, you're right. What difference doesn't make any difference? Lavinia, stop looking at me like
that. Hey, taxi! Wasn't that a glorious dinner?
Yeah, very, very good.
Oh, excellent.
Waiter! Mr. Brillberg wants some more crepe Suzette.
No. My stomach feels like lead now.
Herbert, I hope you remembered your pills.
Well, I guess I forgot again.
Oh, you always do. I've got some in my handbag.
What is this?
I'd better give Herbert his stomach pills.
Nonsense. Mr. Brillberg is a playboy. A playboy does not need stomach pills. Now, hurry. We must get to the Folies Bergères before the curtain goes up. Well, did you enjoy the theater?
Oh, very much, Michel.
It's certainly great. Oh, my golly, it's getting late.
Late? Of course not. For Juju, midnight is only the middle of the afternoon, n'est-ce pas, Juju?
Oui, c'est vrai.
Say, Michel, old boy, do you mind if I have the next dance with Lavinia?
Well, I most certainly do mind.
Well, after all, she's my wife.
Well, after all, she's my date.
Well,
I want to dance with her myself. She's an excellent dancer.
Juju has an interesting style on the dance floor.
Oh, moi, j'ai étudié avec les J.I. Américains pendant la guerre.
What did she say?
Juju says that she learned to dance with the American G.I.s during the war.
Yeah, well, they were in much better physical condition than I am.
Ask Juju if she thinks Mr. Brillberg's a good dancer.
Oh, gladly. Juju, comment danse-t-il, Monsieur Brillberg? Est-ce qu'il est un bon danseur?
Non. No, mille fois no.
She says you're one of the best dancers she's ever known.
She said that, did she?
Lavinia, may I have the pleasure?
Of course, monsieur.
Now, don't leave me here alone. I can't talk to this girl.
Well, let her talk to you.
Yeah, but I don't know what she's saying.
Monsieur Gilbert, vous ressemblez à une miche de pain français.
What did she say to me?
She says you've got a face like a loaf of French bread.
Let us sit on your lap again.
When she sits on my lap, my knees go to sleep.
Well, have yourself a gay old time. While Lavinia and I are drifting to the music in each other's arms.
How can I have a good time while you're having such a good time with my wife?
No, look, what are you complaining about? You don't want her. You ran away from her.
I know.
Well, now, let us be civilized about this thing. If I find your wife charming, gracious, pleasant, excellent company, if I am beginning to fall in love with her, why should you possibly object?
Lavinia, you surely aren't falling in love with him, are you?
I really don't know, Herbert. There were many things I used to be sure of, but I'm not very sure of anything anymore.
You've never seen the daybreak until you've seen the sun rising over the roofs of Paris.
Oh, it is beautiful.
Yes. The Eiffel Tower, Notre Dame, the white marble of the Sacré-Cœur.
Lavinia, it reminds me of that morning on our honeymoon when we got up at 5:30 to take the Hudson Day Line to Bear Mountain.
Oh, yes, I remember you got seasick on the Hudson River.
Yeah. Oh, Lavinia, was it actually a dozen years ago? It doesn't seem possible.
Yes, the perfume.
Yeah. Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah, the bridges. The bridges across the East River look pretty much like those bridges across the... What do they call this? The Paris River?
The Seine.
Yeah, Lavinia, you always did know everything. You know, you're the prettiest little encyclopedia in the world.
You're a rather attractive rhyming dictionary yourself.
Come with me, Jules. We leave them alone here on the roof.
Yeah.
Je vous suis.
Yeah, that's a different perfume you're wearing, isn't it, dear?
Well, thank you for noticing, Herbert. Do you like it?
Yeah, I love it.
Well, I think we've done our good deed for today. Juju, you were wonderful.
Well, I may be wonderful, but that Monsieur Gilbert is a square.
Let us hope he never finds out that you lived for 5 years in Washington Heights.
Is he a very famous songwriter, Michel?
Oh, very famous. And you know, I have a feeling, Juju, that he may be composing a song for his wife at this very moment.
I found my love. The love I thought had gone away. I found my love as night was blending into day.
That is the song, Mr. Conway, that I feel I helped to write.
So the Brillbergs went back together.
Yeah. More in love than ever before.
That perfume you gave Lavinia, that must have turned the trick.
It may have helped.
Where did you get that fragrance? The very perfume that Josephine wore when Napoleon was courting her.
Would you really like to know?
Oh, must be priceless. People I know would be willing to pay £1,000,000 for only a few drops of such a perfume.
So, well, I paid 10 francs for it. At a bargain counter at the Bon Marché, the French equivalent of Macy's basement.
It was a hoax? You lied about the perfume?
No, you see, my friend. To any man who is truly in love, the perfume of his amour is the same as Josephine's. And any woman who loves, as she loved Napoleon, wears the fragrance of an empress.
You're a fraud, Michel. A solid gold fraud. Well, what about the song? Was this one of Billberg's hits?
Well, it might have been, but when it was translated into French, it started one of the biggest scandals since Madame du Barry.
Well, you wouldn't like to enlarge on that to a paragraph or two?
Of course not. That's another story, Mr. Conway. Mm. And another $200.
Charles Boyer will soon be seen starring in Douglas Sirk's production, The First Legion. In the role of Bart Conway, you heard Hanley Stafford. Also in the cast were Willard Waterman, Mary Jane Croft, Lucille Alex, and Viola Varr. Listen again next week at this same time to Presenting Charles Boyer. Now stay tuned for Big Town on NBC.